What's coming up after the 10 o'clock news on the aptly named Richard Serrett Show?
Judy Wood, who is a very controversial figure in the 9/11 truth movement. She's been sort of looked at as the straw man in terms of being sort of way out there on the, what some might, not myself, some might call the lunatic fringe in terms of her theories about what brought down the Twin Towers. She believes it was Star Wars type technology. As Star Wars is an SDI, a particle beam or a beam energy laser type device.
Wow.
That brought down the Twin Towers. And she'll join us in the first hour of the program for the first half of the show, really. In the second half, Matthew Connolly, who is an assistant professor at Columbia University, will be here to talk about the myth of overpopulation and the struggle to control world population for all the wrong reasons.
Interesting.
Yeah, it should be a lively, serious show.
Look how well we've maintained the seriousness.
Well, we can be very professional when we put our minds to it.
Yeah, let's not do that on Monday.
It is a drag, isn't it?
It kind of does. There's no laughing. There's no dancing.
Did you say dancing?
Take me out, my friend. Take me out. Richard Serrett will be soft-chewing his way all the way from 10 to 1 o'clock tonight. My thanks to Richard. Thanks to Sarah. My
Big
thanks
finish.
To Sarah. And my thanks to Mark. We'll do it all again next week, 7 to 10, The Ryan Dolez Show, News Talk 1010, CFIC.
You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are nations. There are no peoples. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
This is the Richard Serrett Show on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Everybody knows that.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't rattled. I was on the phone for about 45 minutes with a woman. Whereabouts unknown. I believe she called from the United States. It was prearranged that she would call me tonight at 9 o'clock for a pre-interview, and we've scheduled her on the program on the 25th. The woman in question claims, alleges to be, or to have been, an Illuminati sex slave and a high-level victim of mind control. Suffering all the attendant ritualistic abuse from a very early age, forced to see and perform unspeakable evil acts. So, obviously, after 45 minutes of listening to that, anyone with a heart beating in their chest would be rattled. But she's a brave woman, and is what she has to say for real, for true? You'll have to make that judgment for yourself. Next week, the 25th at 10 o'clock. That's a Thursday night. All right, that being said, tonight on the program, we will speak later with Matthew Connolly, who is an associate professor at Columbia University and the author of Fatal Misconception, The Struggle to Control World Population. It's no secret on this program. I've been banging this drum for a long time. I do not run with the pack in terms of fearing the fact that there are over 6 billion souls on this planet. I don't think that's a huge issue. I don't believe in overpopulation. I believe that overpopulation has been used as an excuse for, and is responsible, in fact, for this culture of death that we now live in. Anyway, Matthew Connolly will be here to talk about the struggle to control world population and why this underlying misconception persists that all the world's big problems, poverty, war, pollution, etc., have been caused because there are too many people on the planet. Now, first off, a very compelling and controversial 90 minutes, I can assure you. When I first came back to CFRB, every Monday night I did a show dedicated to 9/11. And for various reasons, I didn't have Dr. Judy Wood on the program on any of those on those Mondays. I talked to Jim Hoffman, I talked to James Fetzer, I talked to Barry Zwicker, Alex Jones, of course, Jim Marsh. Why didn't I talk to Judy Wood? And I think maybe I was a little bit afraid of what she had to say, because in some quarters, for those who cling to the official narrative of 9/11 that's been force-fed to us like pablum, Dr. Judy Wood presents them with a bit of a straw man's argument. She's held out there as being way out there on the lunatic fringe. You see what Dr. Judy Wood said last night? The Twin Towers were brought down by some sort of Star Wars technology? Ha, ha, ha. And then I talk to people like John Hutchison, the founder of the Hutchison Effect. And I talk to former TV weatherman Scott Stevens, who has dedicated his life to investigating extreme, bizarre weather anomalies and scalar technology. I talked to Joseph Farrell the other night, the author of Secrets of the Unified Field, and suddenly what Dr. Judy Wood has to say doesn't seem so out there, and I'm delighted to have her on the program, and I'm thrilled that she agreed to come on. Dr. Judy Wood, welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Thank you very much for having me.
Would I, in that rather laborious and awkward introduction, the idea that you're obviously, I'm guessing, cognizant of the fact that some perceive you, maybe even some in the 9/11 truth movement are afraid of you, because what you have to say for them, let's face it, it's far more easier to digest the fact that, let's say, Stephen Jones is correct, that there were, you know, preposition, precision cutter charges placed in the World Trade Center towers, rather than this, you know, hocus pocus world of you know, directed energy weapons. Is that an accurate assessment, that you've been sort of pigeonholed that way by both sides, those in the truth movement and those outside it?
Yeah, but I don't pay a lot of attention to that. I'm just looking for the truth and looking for what caused this horrendous event. It's a pretty amazing event that happened. I think no matter which way you look at it, to have seven buildings go poof that day.
And we should, I failed to mention your credentials, and they are significant. A mechanical engineer with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and the materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. You're a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, co-founded organization's Biological Systems and Materials Division, and you're currently serving on that organization's Composite Materials Technical Division. And let's plug the website as well, drjudywood.com. All right, we've got that out of the way. What is a directed energy weapon?
Well, my definition of it is energy that is directed and is used as a weapon.
That simple. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's my definition.
Yeah.
And I use the, you know, general, very generalized definition, because we don't know what this gizmo is. We don't know what the name of it is. It needs a category, and it's not a kinetic energy device. In other words, something doesn't go boom with chunks going flying. Something doesn't physically do something by contacting it. But energy is involved here.
And when we come back, because we're going to break here for a moment, when we come back, I'll get you to explain, I guess, what the telltale signs were for you when you looked at the images, the video, the stills, heard the eyewitness testimony. What were the telltale signs that, this wasn't brought down by, they weren't brought down by planes, B, they weren't brought down by, as Stephen Jones contends, preposition cutter charges. Judy Wood, Dr. Judy Wood, on the Richard Serrett Show. Stay with us on News Talk 1010 CFRB. All right, Dr. Judy Wood is with us. Mechanical engineer, believes that the World Trade Center towers brought down by directed energy weapon, whatever that might mean. Now, before I get you to tell us what the telltale signs were, Judy, the fingerprint here, what is it your contention that Building 7 as well as the North and South Towers were brought down in this manner?
Yes, and I just submitted some comments to NIST about that.
Yes.
Some pretty incriminating things.
You are involved currently in a federal suit against NIST, are you?
Correct. On the reports for Towers 1, well, the contractors for the reports for Towers 1 and 2.
All right. Now, let's delve into the actual evidence here. When you looked at the images, the videos, the photographs, you heard the testimony, what led you to believe that the Twin Towers and Building 7 were brought down by a directed energy weapon and not commercial aircraft or, as Stephen Jones contends, some pre-positioned cutter charges?
Well, first, let's observe the building. It went away. There wasn't enough rubble pile left. If you use regular controlled demolition, the bombs in the building, I call it, then you end up with a rubble pile with chunks, big chunks, little chunks, in between sized chunks. You don't end up with just solid powder. Also, there's heat involved with that, and I saw no evidence of heat anywhere. Paper unburned, I think we all remember paper all over Manhattan.
Yes.
Just tons of it. It's bizarre. It's next to a car that appears to be burning, but the paper's not burning.
But even with the initial blast, would not some paper be jettisoned out of the windows in advance of the flames, before the flames would have a chance to consume them? I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
But wouldn't they, if paper was on fire, wouldn't it, or if it was shot out the window, how much paper can there be? We didn't really see paper snowing out the window for the amount we see all over the place.
All right.
But, yeah, it did get tossed out.
So the absence of charred, or the absence of heat?
The absence of heat, and you just see a rubble pile. This like ground level, or just the rescue workers had to walk horizontally or rappel down into empty caverns.
Yes, because if the pancake theory were correct, and the idea that one floor collapsed on another and the increasing weight, you would have like a stack of records for those that still remember vinyl. Used to be able to stack about four or five records on a player, and if they were all to collapse, you would have a pile four or five records high. But you're right, there were we didn't see huge chunks. We saw as if the actual building, each floor, before it was allowed to collapse on the next, was merely pulverized into this powder.
Right, and you could see it happening mid-air. You see the steel, I call them wheat checks, those prefab, three-column-wide, three-floors-tall sections of the outer walls. They're flying through the air, and they never hit the ground. It's like they dissolve or melt like ice cream on the way down. They just turn into dust. They trail dust, and there's no big thuds. And that actually was another clue. The ground shook for less than 8 seconds.
Okay, why is that significant?
It takes 9.22 seconds to drop a ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement down below.
Okay, that's pure Newtonian physics, right?
Right.
Free fall speed.
Right, but the ground only shook for 8 seconds or less.
You mean the building collapsed in 8 seconds?
The ground shook.
Okay, I'm not sure why that's significant.
Well, I'm not saying it collapsed. It went away.
Yeah, sure.
It poofed. It
went away. Okay.
The evidence is that the ground did not shake for more than 8 seconds, according to the Columbia University Seismology Lab. And that seems pretty bizarre for this, quarter-mile-tall building.
So let's assume that you say it went away. If it were to have collapsed, it would have had to have collapsed certainly in no less than freefall speed, which would be remarkable in itself, and that's 9.2 seconds. But it actually, the ground only shook for 8.8 seconds, which is greater than freefall speed. You're saying that, according to Newtonian laws, that is absolutely physically impossible.
If it were to collapse in that amount of time.
Yeah. Yes, if it were to have collapsed, yeah.
But the that powder doesn't make a thud when it hits.
No, that's true. Oh, I see what you're saying. Ah, yes, okay.
So the upper floors, yeah, maybe they 100% were turned to powder. And so it was only the lower floors that were actually anything hit the ground.
Right.
If you look around the adjacent area, adjacent buildings, you don't see any, I call them stab wounds, you know, pieces of projectiles going through windows and so forth, above the 18th floor. Out of 110 stories, you only have a solid debris hitting buildings up to the 18th floor.
So is it possible that the first 18 floors were brought down by cutter charges and the remaining floors were brought down by directed energy? Is that what you suggested?
No.
No?
I don't think, why worry about starting water, starting a fire underwater when you don't need to?
Okay, listen,
yeah, it just makes it harder.
Okay.
It's not impossible, it just makes the job harder because you have more unknowns than you need. If you're using one thing, why, use something else?
Understood. Let me take a time out here. We've got news awaiting at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Judy Wood is with us, and we're continuing to discuss whether or not a direct energy weapon was responsible for the collapse of the North, South, and Building 7 at the World Trade Center complex. The Richard Serrett Show. Stay with us on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
The Richard Serrett Show continues.
And you will not take me off the air for now or for any other space for time.
On News Talk 1010 CFRB. To talk to Richard, call 416-872-1010. Toll free 1-800-561-CFRB or Star Talk on your cellular.
Dr. Judy Wood is with us. Believes that directed energy weapons were responsible for bringing down the North-South towers plus Building 7 on 9/11. Let's go back to our discussion, Judy, some of the telltale signs. You mentioned lack of heat. We had plumes of paper being ejected from windows, landing on the street, and none of them were on fire or burning. We have the lack of scarring around the World Trade Center complex. That is, large projectiles being thrown out of the building and then impacting, the other buildings, surrounding buildings above the 18th floor.
And there's the seismograph information. The ground didn't shake for more than 8 seconds, but even more so, the impact it made was equivalent to the bottom 20 stories of Tower 1 and the bottom 16 stories of Tower 2.
So in other words, as you say, the top 90-plus floors simply disappeared, went away.
Right.
Okay. Any other telltale signs before we move on?
There's the toasted cars. I call them toasted cars. They're toasted as in their history, not necessarily cooked. I use unique terms when I don't know the exact phenomenon and don't want to bias my observations. I just assign a name. Okay, toasted cars. They're totaled. They're toast.
Okay.
And they look scorched, but there's paper next to them that's not burning.
Hmm.
And the cars are glowing. And whatever it is, seems to like engine blocks more than the size of the car. I mean, it likes door handles. So if you showed me a car from a regular car fire and a car from 9/11, I could tell the difference.
It likes door handles and engine blocks, but not necessarily the skin of the car.
Right.
That's interesting. All right.
And it also removes the windshield. There's absolutely not a trace of windshield left.
It melts them? Or can
No, they're just gone.
They're gone.
Maybe they turn to dust.
Okay.
The marble facade in front of WFC 1, 2, and 3, those are the buildings on the west side of West Street. Just all the marbles disappeared off the facade.
It disappeared?
Yeah. It's gone. Just the marble.
Was it pulverized, or you mean there's no accounting for it whatsoever, no trace of even powder?
I don't know if the powder was there or not, but you look at the pictures and all that facade is gone, just the marble facade, not the rest of the building.
Okay.
And also the windows. There's circular holes, the windows. And I think we all know that you throw a baseball through a window, it doesn't make a round hole.
No, it just breaks the entire pane of glass, or it leaves a jagged top or bottom or some portion.
Yeah, spider web looking thing.
Okay, holes in the glass where? On the, where? In surrounding buildings?
Adjacent buildings, like across the street.
Adjacent buildings. Okay, that's interesting.
Is a WFC building, there are round holes?
A lot of them?
Yeah.
Dozens or hundreds?
The breakage was kind of strange.
Okay.
Or if the building had double pane windows, one of the panes was gone, but the other pane wasn't.
All right, this is all very interesting, and it is perplexing, these phenomena that you're talking about, but how does that, in your mind, add up to directed energy?
Well, longitudinal waves do that to windows, to window glass, but as you look at more and more, and I guess the biggest moment, well, there's two aha moments. One was this cop car over an FDR drive, and with my background in interferometry, the pattern I saw in the car reminded me of constructive and destructive interference.
Okay, those are very big words, and someone who basically got through about probably grade 11 science. first of all, your background in interferometry?
Interferometry.
Interferometry, what is that?
Interfering beams of light.
Interfering.
If you interfere two coherent beams of light, you get walls of constructive and destructive interference.
Okay.
In other words, in space, you have light, dark, and then sinusoidal shades in between.
Okay. And so, the pattern on a squad car on FDR Drive showed you what?
That it was something that would be explained by interferometry, where if it looks toasted one place and 1 millimeter to the right, it's, you know, pristine condition with new wax job.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, things like that wouldn't exist in, like, a regular car fire.
No, I wouldn't think so as a layperson. All right, listen, another break awaits.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk about whether such technology exists and who might have it and what exactly is a directed energy weapon, or we can speculate what might a directed energy weapon look like, and who might be in possession of such technology, where was it positioned, if we can speculate on that as well. And also, most importantly, I welcome your input, my listeners. 416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255, toll free from out of town, 1-800-561-CFRB. You're hearing what Dr. Judy Wood is saying. How do you respond? Back with more of the Richard Serrett Show here on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Directed energy weapons. Was such a device used to bring down the World Trade Center towers, Building 7 and the North and South Tower? Judy Wood, Dr. Judy Wood, a mechanical engineer, believes it happened just that way. Now, the only question for me is, because for many of you listening now, you might be thinking, well, you know what, this is getting too far out there. We're talking, what is that, Star Wars? Come on now. But the only question that we need to answer, really, is this technology possible, and does somebody possess it? And everything else falls in line from there. But before we get to that, what kind of energy source are we looking at here that would be able to do something like this, pulverizing some 200 floors plus Building 7, we haven't accounted for that, 200 floors into a fine dust? What kind of energy source, what kind of power would be needed, Dr. Judy?
It's the kind of power, the kind of effect, not the magnitude of it. One more feature that was really groundbreaking for me, pun intended maybe, is when the dust fell, it was coarse. It landed and then began breaking down further and became so fine it started wafting up.
How do you know that?
Pictures. It was 15 minutes after Tower 1 went poof, just north of the tower, you're upwind, you see a clear blue sky, the dust has landed, but then now you see stuff start to come up. That fine of dust could not have landed already.
Ah. Interesting. So it fell to the ground in a coarse manner and then continued to break down once it hit the ground.
Right. So that's a really weird process.
Have you
it's
seen
not
any,
like you put in an energy beam and fry it. That's the biggest misconception.
Ah. Have you seen anything like this before?
Yeah.
Where?
And I think you have too. I started looking for what could cause this, and I came upon the work of John Hutchison.
Yes.
And he does this on a very small scale, just goofing around, not definitely not anything in terms of weapons. But the U.S. government has been to his lab and videotaped it for 4 months in 1983, I believe.
Yes, the Hutchison effect, for those who are not aware, we've had John on the show many times before. He was unceremoniously removed from his apartment slash lab in, New Westminster, British Columbia. He stumbled onto some sort of effect that would that could bend metal bars, that could levitate heavy objects, all essentially at the flip of a switch, using his lab looks like a Nikola Tesla garage sale, but what do you mean that you've seen this with John Hutchison's effect?
Well, with his work, he's of course well known for levitation. And if you look around the World Trade Center complex, you see flipped cars next to trees that are fully covered with leaves.
That's not possible?
It's pretty strange to see so many of them. The cars in the right place, it's just upside down. There's, quite a few of those. And
okay.
If it was a big gust of wind, I don't think they'd toss cars over without, at least scarring them up some.
Ah, I understood. Okay,
they just look like they're parked upside down.
Oh, I see. They're perfectly pristine, except they're upside down.
Right. It's one of them. The underside looks like it's from the showroom floor. It must be a brand new car.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's the upside down cars that were in good shape, and the cars that were right side up were toasted.
Hmm.
And there's something that caught my eye in reading up about John Hutchison's work is you get lift or disruption. In other words, the molecules either can come apart or they tear themselves apart.
Those are the two effects that he reported using when he engaged his device.
Well, others have reported about his work, like
okay.
The disruption, meaning the metal, starts doing something funny.
It either bends, or I think in some cases it became rubbery or very brittle and just smashed apart.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw traces of this at the crime scene, so to speak.
All of the various phenomena I listed at the crime scene, I'd done that first, and then I found John Hutchison's work and went, oh my gosh, it's just a one-to-one correlation. And so there's an article about that on my website where it's comparing, my photos from Ground Zero and then John's specimens. It's just a one-to-one match.
DrJudyWood.com, DrJudyWood.com. Okay, so again, you say it's not necessarily the amount of power behind such a device; it's the type of device or weapon itself. So,
correct.
What are we talking here then?
Well, field effects.
Field effects, as in the unified field.
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
And,
okay, let's.
There's types of fields that can interfere, and if you look at what John Hutchison does, it's different kinds of fields that he interferes.
All right. Wait, we need to take another time out. We'll come back and delve into, once again, we just talked about the unified field with Joseph Farrell. We may be heading back down to some familiar territory here, and this is getting very, very interesting. If he's got a line, hold on to it. We will get to the calls. I'll warn you, it probably will be right after the news at 11 o'clock. And if you haven't jumped on board, please do so at 416-872-1010. Star Talk, Star 8255, toll-free from out of town, 1-800-561-CFRB, The Richard Serrett Show, along with Dr. Judy Wood. Stay with us on News Talk 1010. Welcome back. Dr. Judy Wood is with us. It is her theory that the Twin Towers and Building 7 were brought down by a directed energy weapon, not pre-positioned cutter charges, as Stephen Jones contends, or using thermite. Let's work in a call, because we're coming up on the news at the top of the hour, and I want to get some input here from people. What do you think of what Dr. Judy Wood is saying? Jim is in Toronto. Good evening. Welcome to News Talk 1010.
Good evening, Richard, and to Judy. Judy, I saw a documentary on military hardware, modern versions of hardware, which is absolutely fantastic, and what you're talking about was in the actual documentary. And they had an aircraft on remote control flying. They fired this weapon. Now you only see the left side of the right side of the individual, the army person doing the testing, and it just broke the aircraft in pieces. They did the same thing on a missile that was just on the launch. They just broke it in half. What puzzles me is this: what you're saying is, what sounds like they must have had it set up inside and outside on the building, the third building that went down, just to eliminate the evidence of what was going on when it comes to what you're talking about.
Well, I'm saying that there were field effects. There's interference of different energy forms in that region, not necessarily something fired from like a gun.
Are we talking again about Einstein's unified field theory, some aspect of that?
Yes, and the fields that John Hutchinson interferes, there's something very similar to that that was present in New York City, in the area, on 9/11.
Now, when you say interferes, you mean, as in the old Scott Stevens, again, the former weatherman from Pocatello, Idaho, who's now with weatherwars.info, says, just like in Ghostbuster, you know, don't cross the beams. You cross the beams, and that creates interference waves?
Right. Depends on what types of beams and what angles and what strengths and so forth. Yes, it's interfering. Different beams will do something extraordinary.
So this this technology, this is just not theoretical. I mean, Einstein was talking about this almost, 100 years ago. I know that people like Nikola Tesla sort of picked up on it and others. But you're saying that this is not theoretical. They have harnessed this technology and they have weaponized it. Do we know this for a fact?
Well, I know that the technology exists because I saw it. Now, John Hutchinson can
right.
do something, but he, would, again, never would use it for weapons.
And obviously at a much smaller scale, so somebody
right.
must
now,
have perfected it.
Now, to supersize it, we need a huge, like, Tesla coil.
All right, we will supersize it when we come back. We've got news at the top of the hour. Dr. Judy Wood stays with us. Dr. Judy, now, drjudywood.com is
yes.
The website, and we'll also... tell you about how you can get involved in perhaps demanding a new 9/11 investigation. That and much more on my conversation with Dr. Judy Wood when the Richard Serrett Show continues. Stay with us here on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
This is the Richard Serrett Show on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
We'll talk about the myth of overpopulation at 11:30. Right now, we continue to speak with Dr. Judy Wood, mechanical engineer with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, and optical methods. We're talking about the possibility that directed energy weapons brought down the Twin Towers on 9/11. Interesting quote here that sent to me by a listener. It's incredibly apropos, so I'll share it with you now. This death beam, Dr. Tesla said, will operate silently but effectively at distances as far as a telescope could see an object on the ground and as far as the curvature of the Earth would permit it. It will be invisible and will leave no marks behind it beyond its evidence of destruction. An army of 1 million dead, annihilated in an instant, he said, would never reveal or could not reveal even under the most powerful microscope just what catastrophe had caused its destruction. Thank you to Amy for sending that in. Dr. Judy Wood, we're talking about a Tesla-type death beam, in your estimation?
I don't know about a death beam, but it's, yeah, an energy field of some sort, and about supersizing it.
Yes, Tesla coils. We've seen the Tesla coils, for those that have looked at pictures of John Hutchinson's former lab in British Columbia, he had Tesla coils. So we're talking about very large Tesla coils.
Well, if you look at a big Tesla coil, it's got this donut-shaped thing on the top and then a column with wires wrapped around it going up to it. It looks very much like the structure of a hurricane.
Hmm, yes.
Did you know that there was a very large hurricane right outside of New York City on 9/11?
I had not heard that.
It was billed to be even bigger than Katrina and was aimed right for New York City. For 4 days, it was going northwest, past Bermuda, headed straight to New York City, stopped right outside of New York City on the morning of 9/11, made a U-turn, headed out of town that afternoon.
All right. right. That's interesting. I mean, hurricanes obviously normally don't come anywhere near that vicinity.
And for no one to have been told. I've got snapshots from the morning news. They don't show, it shows that area of the ocean, but doesn't show this big, you know, pinwheel that should be out there.
Well, where did the, I missed that report. Where did that come, where did you get that report, that there was a hurricane headed for New York on the morning of 9/11?
I was looking at the plume and the nature of the plume, and decided I wanted some, you know, better pictures from up above, and went looking for weather satellite images. And oh my gosh, what is this thing?
How far offshore?
Well, the outer bands were at the end of Long Island and on Cape Cod.
And this was, you're saying, what, have you had a meteorologist look at it to determine that what, were we talking about, Category 5, 4?
It was a 3 the day before.
Hmm.
And it was, it had been downgraded, but it had spread out. Like a figure skater puts their arms out and they slow down.
Okay.
It had spread out to, you know, 500 plus miles in diameter.
Is that the fingerprint? Is that the fingerprint of the energy weapon?
I believe it's part of it. Did you know there was thunder reported at JFK Airport, Newark Airport, and LaGuardia Airport? All, you know, all sides of Manhattan.
Thunder?
Thunder.
And it was, I'm guessing, if I think back to that day, it was a pretty clear day.
Right. It was dry thunder.
And those reports come from...
The National Weather Service.
They reported thunder.
Yes, that's the airport report.
Okay.
Those individual airports.
All right, so you add these things up. I mean, a hurricane 500 miles offshore from...
No, 500 miles in diameter.
Oh, 500 miles in diameter, I'm sorry.
Well, it is about 500 miles offshore for the eye of it, but it's, you know, the outer bands, but the field effects reach outside of the outer bands.
Okay.
Like, we can sense a storm coming. You know, especially people with arthritis, they feel it.
Sure,
in the
sure.
They sense the field effects. So the fact that there's thunder in the vicinity, you know, all around Manhattan, that was enough to say that there's field effects there.
My word. Now, would the hurricane that was offshore, would that be as a result of the activation of this directed energy weapon, or?
I believe it was part of it. It's the big Tesla coil.
Does that mean that it was coming from that direction?
I believe that the hurricane, however it was there, I believe it was manufactured, that it was creating part of the field.
The hurricane was creating part of the field?
Yes. The field effects from the hurricane are part of the field.
So then how, but I mean, a hurricane is a huge storm. I mean, how would that be directed on... three buildings within the World Trade Center complex.
Like when John Hutchison does his work, he interferes different types of energy fields.
Okay.
And if you have exquisite controls, you know, you have several different energy fields interfering, and then you can get a trigger beam that will set it off in a particular place.
A trigger beam, okay.
Yes, yeah, trigger beam that, you know, the field effects are in the area, and then they just need one last little component, and then, boom, there goes something. Or I believe
almost
the
like
buildings
were
disintegrated right, over time.
Like taking a magnifying glass and focusing the sun's rays on a particular location?
Or adding the catalyst. I think of adding the catalyst to a field that's already there.
Okay, and again...
let's say you have a potential between two plates. You know, it's ready to arc, and you add just one little something in between, and boom, there goes the arc.
This, again, not theoretical. This you've seen it at a smaller scale in Hutchison's lab, but is it possible that someone would have this technology on such a large scale? Is it technically possible?
Well, if this thing was designed, if however the hurricane got there, and the fact that weren't told about this hurricane, which had the potential of, you know, large storm surges, and if it goes right outside New York City and parks there, Manhattan is, what, 20 feet above the water,
Yes, yes.
It's going to get flooded out. So aren't you going to tell people they need to evacuate in case the hurricane comes ashore?
Right, right.
That, to me, you know, confirms that there's some kind of weather control to be so confident that you don't need to alert people.
You talked to Scott Stevens about this? Do you know Scott Stevens?
No, I know of him.
Yeah, Weather Wars Info. I mean, he's talking about just exactly this, using, I guess, scalar technology. Is that the appropriate term here, scalar?
It could be. I'm not that familiar with exactly how they make these hurricanes, but
okay.
they're too organized, and I think there's something about the eye, you know, the pentagon shape.
Well, that's exactly, yes. He talks about the geometric patterns within these storms. I mean, he basically delivered his last weathercast in Pocatello, Idaho, back in 2005. Once he woke up, he says, what was going on, what kind of technology they had, and now he just sees, again, the telltale signs of manufactured weather everywhere. I mean, not just the big things. He says they're not just doing the big things. They're doing everything.
You had to check my website, the Aaron series. It's Hurricane Aaron is the name of it. E-R-I-N.
All right. Hurricane
and,
Aaron.
Yeah, it was. It goes there just like it went up to a chalk line. Stops, makes a U-turn, and then heads back out of town.
DrJudyWood.com. All right. One final time out. Come back and talk a little bit more about this. This is absolutely mind-blowing. Directed energy weapons. Did they bring down the Twin Towers? Back with more of the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010 CFRB. When Carlos Allende was crossing the Atlantic on his way to Algiers in October of 1943, he claims he and at least 1,000 men witnessed the USS Eldridge become invisible to the human eye. Not to radar, to the human eye. That was the source of the legend of the Philadelphia Experiment, also known as Project Rainbow. Now think of it. If they could do that in 1943, and we're not talking about the rumors of teleportation. Let's assume that didn't happen. But if it simply became invisible to the human eye, if they could do that in 1943, my word, what kind of technology do they have 65 years later? It would be mind-boggling. I don't think our imagination could even fathom what the powers that be have. Do they have a directed energy weapon utilizing giant Tesla coils to create hurricanes and also make the Twin Towers disappear? Dr. Judy Wood says so. Let's grab a quick call before we say goodnight to Judy, and that is Jim in Etobicoke. Welcome to News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Hi, Richard. How are you guys doing? Another phenomenal show.
Thank you.
Richard, I'm just curious as to, I'm not sure if your guest is aware, you had your guest off last week, last Thursday, I forget the gentleman's name, was talking about 9/11 and the fact that the towers were shut down by the Marvin Bush security firm on the 8th and the 9th. And there's two questions I have, really. Is one, do you think this igniter, I guess, could be potentially set up in those 2 days when the buildings were shut down and completely under control with no access by anybody else? And also, if so, what was the size or the category size of this hurricane that was offshore of New York? I'll take the call or answer offline.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Judy?
Thanks. The hurricane was a Category 3, but it had been downgraded that morning as it slowed down, but it was bigger. So the overall energy was, you know, larger, but it's a larger area. But one other thing I'd like to mention is there's an abrupt shift in the Earth's magnetic field with each of the events on 9/11. Like a buildup, a change in the magnetometer readings, and then an abrupt change of direction of those curves.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting too.
That's probably worthy of another half an hour, which we don't have. I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about on DrJudyWood.com, sort of a clarion call for people interested in launching another 9/11 investigation. I know there are those up here in Canada that would like to see that. But what are you trying to do down in the States?
Well, I am conducting an investigation, and I'm taking legal action as well. And
you're taking NIST to court?
Yes. Well, the contractors for NIST.
Okay.
Who helped in the cover-up of this horrendous crime. And some of these contractors are manufacturers of directed energy weapons.
And how do you know that?
It's on their website.
Ah.
Their test facilities, their, warehouse.
How can people help you?
Write to me and ask. Let it be known that what's going on.
All right, but in terms of your legal case, I mean, then this is costing money, I'm guessing.
Yes, yes.
Who's helping you with that?
Nobody so far. A couple of people have small scale. But, yeah, anything would be very helpful there.
All right. So, again, it's Dr. Judy Wood, drjudywood.com.
And at the top of the webpage, there's, I think it says legal, about the legal case.
Yes.
And if you go to that page, there's a data entry thing that you can, you know, send me an email that way or, you know, contact me.
All right. And when is that case supposed to happen?
Well, it's ongoing. There's
okay.
different activities happening in it right now.
All right. Listen, I know that you'll probably be in the midst of it later next month, which is why we had you on tonight. Thank you for your time. I'm hoping that we can talk again before Christmas and get maybe some details of how this case is going. And I wish you the best of luck. You're a brave woman, and this information is absolutely mind-blowing and not easily dismissed.
Thanks.
Dr. Judy Wood. All right. When we come back, the myth of overpopulation. When the Richard Serrett Show continues here on News Talk 1010 CFRB.